I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. Imagine that. We'll have coverage of the Texas Rangers. They take on the Chicago White Sox this evening. Rangers beat the White Sox yesterday. We'll look to win two games in a row tonight there in Arlington. You know, it's crazy. We've been following this Pac-12 story for months and months and months. I'm sure that there are some out there that, and maybe even some in here, that are a little bit tired of Pac-12 talk. And I understand that. It's almost like today, a day after the Pac-12 finally presents its media deal or proposed media deal to its presidents, it's like the Big Ten says, hold my beer.
Right.
And then Florida State says, no, you hold my beer.
Right.
It's been a heck of a 3 or 4 hours, Gus.
Yeah. I mean, Florida State trustees talking, you got Big Ten people meeting. It's we've talked about this and used the phrase the domino, the first domino, and I probably wouldn't have predicted these dominoes in this way, but as immediate as these are, the Florida State thing is in one category over here, because that's going to involve a legal challenge that we've all. You know, we've all sort of said, okay, we're, you know, how's this going to play out? But the Big Ten thing seems like it's a little forced, given what Colorado has brought about and what may very, and really what the failure to produce a media rights has brought about for the Pac-12. Like, you know, and it doesn't mean the Big Ten is going to do something, but the fact that they're meeting and discussing this is probably forced. Not where they really wanted to be, and somewhere in the Chicago Bears corporate offices, Kevin Warren's going, yeah, okay.
I freaking told you.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're you know, have been in a meeting all day or just woke up or didn't have your phone at work, whatever, the Big Ten stuff is, and this was first reported by Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports, subsequently confirmed by Nicole Auerbach of ESPN, and Brett McMurphy of the Action Network, that a group of Big Ten presidents, we don't know how big that group is, we don't know who's in that group, I think that would be very instructive if we did know those things, but a group of Big Ten presidents are discussing the potential of the Big Ten adding Oregon, Washington, and maybe Stanford and Cal should the Pac-12 start to crumble, right? What do you think that means?
I really want to know, first of all, I think because the Big Ten is where they are with their media rights package, they can do darn near whatever they want, whenever they want. I would assume the first, maybe not the first, but among the first things, hey, Aaron, you call this, hey, Clint, you do this, hey, Gus, you call ESPN, you know, or Fox, rather, you know, like somewhere in there some pro rata discussion has to happen, I would assume. You know, is the pizza going to get bigger, or is the pie going to get bigger if we add? But I also think that the Big Ten in the position that they're in could say, you know what, we'll add them in 3 years if we want to add them.
Not going anywhere.
Right. And we are who we are.
Well, unless Oregon and Washington say, we don't want to be floating out there.
No, that's true, but I don't. You know, I would think the Big Ten could back channel something saying, hey, fellas, this won't happen now, but by the end of this next TV deal, you guys, so whatever you do, don't sign away your media rights for 20 years or your
right.
You know, if it's truly a, we remain interested, but now just isn't the time, we've got to do this UCLA USC dance for a couple of years. It's just not going to have the votes. but don't sign away your, you know, don't give it all away. Don't lock yourself in for more than whatever the next 5 or 6 years or whatever the strategic date is. And I don't think it changes a whole lot for Oregon if they say that, because I don't think that would be unanticipated on the side of the Big 12. I don't think they would be going, wait a second, Oregon doesn't want to commit for more than 5 or 6 years. Are you kidding me? Come on. No, they don't. I mean, they don't. So that would be my answer to your question. Yeah.
I mean, the Pac-12 is just turbo screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just the biggest losers here: George Kliavkoff, Oregon State, Washington State. Yeah. Because if you're Stanford or Cal, and certainly Oregon and Washington, now you have a strong interest in the four corner schools leaving for the Big 12 and the Pac-12 dying. You know, I remain very curious about a lot of the things that you and I talked about, I mean, yesterday, as a matter of fact. Like, I understand why Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and Nebraska and USC and UCLA might be interested in this. I don't know why Purdue would be okay with this, or mm-hmm. Rutgers or Maryland. Because, again, like we said yesterday, and this is true, this remains true, even if they do find a way to capitalize on these additions by increasing their media payout somehow. I think, like, that's a big if that we're just kind of like brushing over. But even if they are able to get some more money out of this, you're still saying, okay, this is more travel potentially, certainly watering down our TV slots. We're not going to get any primetime NBC, CBS, premium broadcast windows. We're going to be on the Big Ten Network basically nonstop. Yeah, that part I don't understand. And you further dilute. I mean, really, like, it's one thing to have a two-team outpost in Los Angeles, which is one of the, you know, but the second largest city in the country, very metropolitan, you know. It's like having a beach house, right? But suddenly, if you add Cal and Stanford and Oregon and Washington, you've gone from the Big Ten that you've always known, even with Rutgers and Maryland kind of hanging out there on the edge. Essentially, the Big Ten has remained culturally a Midwest conference, right? A lot of alignment there. A lot of shared values, a lot of shared geography, a lot of shared history. You add four more teams from the pack, all in the same swoop, right? Like, they will all, six will join at the same time in 2024. You're a much different conference. And I wonder if the Big Ten is ready for that. And I wonder if some of those presidents, Purdue, Indiana, Illinois, Northwestern, I wonder if they're ready for it.
Yeah, as soon as I threw that to you, I thought of the other thing that I intended to say was, I want to know who's on the list. I want to know which presidents are pro and which presidents are con or for and against or whatever, for the exact reason you just said. You know, the farther down, I mean, it's easy to be maybe, hey, we feel really good about our team this year or next year, Coach so-and-so is, you know, is going to build something special. This is a bigger conversation than what's immediate and what's right in front of you. And to your point, anytime you're up against USC, Michigan, Ohio State, you're going to be down the dial.
More Tech Talk next.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's the Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, DT973.com. Time for some headlines. Texas Tech announced today that it is officially sold out of primary ticket inventory for the program's home opener this season against Oregon. There are still a limited amount of season tickets that are still available through the athletics ticket office. Season tickets are priced as low as $185 per seat, and options remain in both the east and west sides of the stadium. Former Northwestern football player Ramon Diaz is filing a lawsuit against the school, alleging he was hazed and mistreated in the program largely because of his race. He played O-lineman for the Wildcats from 05 to 08, alleges he was subjected to hazing that included the mocking of his Mexican heritage, along with, quote, microaggressions from comments made by former offensive line coach Brett Ingalls, as well as sexualized acts that have been previously alleged by other former players. You too can join the program. Love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DT973.com. So how about some of these quotes from a Florida State Board of Regents, I'm sorry, Board of Trustees meeting. Justin Roth says that staying in the ACC is like death by a thousand paper cuts, but every cut is a $30 million cut. The Florida State president says, my current keep in mind, this is the president. This is the president of Florida State. Let's think back these long months and how we would kind of hang on every word from the Colorado chancellor, from the Utah president, from the Arizona president, right? Michael Crow at Arizona State, and how like careful and measured and conservative they were with their words. Meanwhile, in Tallahassee, FSU president Rick McCullough, quote, my current assessment of the situation is I believe FSU will have to at some point consider very seriously leaving the ACC unless there were a radical change. Drew Weatherford, who former Florida State quarterback, he's now a member of the Board of Trustees, quote, it's not a matter of when we leave, it's a matter of how and when.
Yeah, and that's a big one there, Drew. The how is a big one.
Justin Roth says, even if we can't make this August 15th deadline to withdraw, so before the 24 season is when they would be able to withdraw, theoretically, if they provided notice before August 15th of this year, Florida State needs to make a plan and execute it within the next 12 months. But you're right, Gus. It's like, okay.
That's all. How? That's all big talk. Yeah, you're going to break a grant of rights document that's been really difficult to break. The powers that be at University of Texas and University of Oklahoma didn't figure out how to break that. They whittled it down to the final 12 months and then wrote the check to get out of that. But you're talking about a grant of rights that still has, what, 12, 13 years left? I mean, I'm sure there's some posturing. The posturing part of this would be, hey, let's, you know, we're going public with some of these comments because we're serving notice. But, you know, the last part of his statement was the how and when. Well, that's a big one, because this isn't just something you just choose. It's like me be like you going and, hey, Jess and I have decided we're going to move. We're going to look for a new house. Okay. You know, you're not bound to your current. This isn't like that. You don't just pick up and go.
It's like Michael Scott saying, I declare bankruptcy. Yeah. More quotes from Rick McCullough, again, FSU president. Quote, we're one of the best media value teams in the United States. We, along with Clemson and others, help to carry the value of media rights in the ACC. No offense to my colleagues. That's just the numbers. I don't. This seems really stupid to me, Gus. Like incredibly. This seems like a more of a tantrum than some kind of, you know, 200 IQ 3D chess move. If you had the juice to leave,
right?
If you had the legal kung fu, if you had the loophole, right? If you had some kind of, you know, organized movement within the conference to dissolve it or whatever, you would have done it already,
right?
You wouldn't be holding a trustees meeting and talking about it. Blah 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 blah. This is it's a joke. And if anything, it makes your situation more difficult because Boston College and Syracuse and Wake Forest and the rest of the ACC, save for a handful of teams, okay, battle's coming, let's prepare, right? Mm-hmm. Battle line's drawn, let's prepare. You think that, like, FSU rolls up there with Clemson. Hey, guys, what do y'all think about giving playoff revenue just to the teams that get in the playoff? Screw you, dude. Go sit back down. Like, your days of extra pull in this conference, if they ever existed, are over because we know you're leaving.
Right. Why would we accommodate you?
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, go. You're one of 14 now, bro. Right? Go do the tomahawk chop someplace else. We're going to do what's best for the ACC. Might not be best for Florida State, but hey, no one held a gun to your head to sign that contract. That was all you. That wasn't some automatic pen deal.
You know, it would be fun to go back in 2011 and look through, and it probably wouldn't be hard to find, but newspaper, online, whatever, or the Florida State people touting the genius of signing the thing back at the grant of rights back in 2011. We have secured the future of the Atlantic Coast Conference.
But they twisted our arm.
And now 12 years later, we are leaving. And yeah, it's, again, we're one good legal action away from there being some light at the end of the tunnel. But yeah, it feels like being this vocal and this sort of, snooty toward the rest of the conference, that it allows the opposition to size up against you, because looking around the room, the Wakes and Pittsburghs and those people are not on your side on this, because they're going to end up being the losers in terms of the ultimate, the ultimate alignment here. Most likely Wake and NC State and Pittsburgh and Boston College aren't going to be the ones that land in the Big Ten or the SEC. And so what's their future is a little more uncertain. So why are they going to side with you on this? And then, like you said, why would they acquiesce to any sort of a, hey, how about the champions get more money? No. I mean, it can...
Sit your ass back down.
Right. It could operate to the level of, hey, if that's what you're for, then I'm against it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it, because my future is uncertain and yours is certain, and now it's just a matter of me helping decide when yours... future is now. And there's some ultimately it's going to happen, whether it's 2036 or not, it's a question.
Maybe it gets to the point, like every ACC meeting in the near future, every time they bring up a discussion, like, well, let's have Florida State go first, and then everyone just says the opposite. Yeah, no matter what.
That's right. Everyone they look down their nose at.
How about this from 2016 from then Clemson president Jim Clements? The ACC is a great conference, and this 20-year TV deal increases the national exposure, brings in additional revenue, and offers greater opportunity for student athletes. For us and the Florida States and others, it stabilizes the conference long term.
Was that on Twitter or on a link? Is that a link?
That was just, I Googled it on ESPN.
If that was a tweet, you could at freezing takes.
Right?
Hey, FSU. Kumbaya, man.
I mean, it's just so dumb. Just like, do you think Clemson is happy about the situation? Clemson's won multiple national championships, right, in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah.
You think they're, like, hunky-dory about being that far behind? No. But they're also not, like, rattling sabers and throwing a hissy fit. Right. Jeez. More Tech Talk next.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, how are you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can access that at doublet973.com or through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. This is from our friend Robert, who says, did you hear Petros lay into Callan Stanford this morning? He blamed both for being indifferent. He basically said that they shouldn't have athletic programs. Blame them for what? Like, I don't know that you can lay all of the Pac-12's ills at their feet.
I wonder if Petros was speaking just about their own circumstance.
Sure, and that
just the lack of interest in their.
From that perspective, they have no one to blame but themselves.
Yeah,
but. I think, and I feel weird for doing this, in defense of Stanford and in defense of Cal.
Could we get that up? Could you save that, please?
Right?
How did you not just throw up in your mouth?
This is San Francisco, after all, that we're talking to you all from.
Left coast, baby.
Yeah.
I've got the text to prove it.
Eating all kinds of Rice-A-Roni up in here, the whole deal. Watching Full House.
Almonds.
There you go.
Healthy, organic
also,
almonds.
California snack.
Avocado toast once every 15 minutes.
They are who they are. Right? Like, for all of their faults, and there are many, for all of their warts as a prospective, conference addition, they haven't really ever tried to be anything that they're not. Right? Stanford is an expensive, academic-minded private school that funds a ton of different sports, have not had the best football history, the end. And Cal is a highly regarded, whatever you may think of them, highly regarded public institution that has never really cared much about athletics. Right?
Yep.
And they are who they are. And if you've kind of lashed your future to their prospects, and that's partly on you.
Yeah, both elite academic institutions, without question. Over at varying points along the way, they've certainly Division I, Power 5 institutions, but they've conducted themselves probably more like Ivy League schools in a sense. No, that's why I've told you. I wouldn't be surprised in 5 years if they did the University of Chicago thing and pulled back from Division I athletics, or they could end up in the Big Ten. I mean,
right?
Pretty wide delta there.
This on the chat line, side talk. This is from Duffin Houston. I think Utah has assumed UT's role as the most arrogant fan base before they even get into the conference. Big 12 Twitter already hates them, which is a lot of fun to watch. I mean, I will say this. I agree with you, Duff, and I think that they provide a role that I don't think currently exists in the new Big 12, and that is a villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need a villain.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's a great point. That sells tickets. And they've got the recent history to back it up. Their history really hasn't spanned across a bunch of head coaches, maybe once you get past Urban Meyer.
This on the chat line, Twitter is saying Arizona schools in Utah are headed this way, just a matter of process playing out now. Yeah, I think that's true. I would be stunned at this point, shocked.
By Labor Day? By the time the first whistle blows, you think? Or
yeah, that sounds about right. I don't know why you would need any longer than that.
I agree. Especially if the Oregon and Washington are gonna do a dance with Stanford, Cal, and the Big Ten, and it really, because I've talked about five schools, one spot, five schools, three spots. If it's just three for three, it makes it a little bit easier.
And, the benefit of the Big Ten swooping in and adding Cal and Stanford and Oregon and Washington is that there's not going to be really any kind of sympathy for the remaining conference that exists. Like if the Pac-12 somehow continues to exist in some kind of zombie form where they merge with the Mountain West, but they keep the Pac-12's identity and they keep their their NCAA units and all that stuff, like come the new playoff contract, it's a Power Four, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not getting that share again.
No.
You're being treated like the American, like the Mountain West, like Conference USA. And they'll also lose power when it comes to, NCAA tournament negotiations and all those things. So that part is very interesting because now with it teetering, now the other conferences have an interest in it just going away. One less mouth to feed.
Sure.
This in the chat line. Somebody rattled off the last 5-6 years, the record of Florida State. Where was all this FSU outrage from 2017 and 21 when Clemson and other teams were carrying the conference? They finally have a good year last year, and their whole attitude changes hypocrisy. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. This on the chat line. There are some Texas alums who believe that no one wants to join the Big 12 since there are no blue bloods and the conference is weak as a result. I would like to ask those schools whether they would prefer to go 6-6 at best over winning the conference championship and being eligible for the postseason. In my opinion, the remaining Pac-12 schools are a joke and so far up their head or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where the thing that you're excited about in May and June is not what you're excited about in October and November. You know, like if the SEC knocked on Tech's door right now and said, hey, do you want in? I mean, it'd be great. You're going to cash in. You're going to be part of the arguably the best conference in college athletics. You know, you're going to be rubbing elbows with Alabama and Georgia. And I mean, the baseball and the football, and they would probably still play basketball. But ask again in November when you're 3-9. You know? This in the chat line from Justin. Cal is the Lubbock High of the Pac-9. I don't get it.
Smart kid school.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, they're ones with all the National Merit Scholars. And back in the day, it was called the LEAP program. But yeah, that's very much of a smart kid school. And I think I'm just reinforcing what the texter's saying. That's what I think he or she is texting to, their reputation.
Derek has this. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Do you think because the Big Ten and Florida State news, it injects enough chaos, it destabilizes the Big 12's efforts to survive and drive us quicker to two mega conferences of 20 or 30 teams? Does Tech land in a 30-team mega conference? I would think so, but no one wants to be in the position of Oregon State or Wazoo right now. I don't. I think that when the dust settles, you're probably three conferences, certainly a sizable gap between the SEC and Big Ten and Big 12, but I think that you're relevant enough to where you're kind of kept around.
firmly entrenched in third.
Yeah, I mean, you just want to stay within arm's length.
Yep.
You know, maybe a long arm, but still arm's length. So I haven't felt this good about the future of Texas Tech's conference since maybe like 08, 09.
Yeah.
More Tech Talk next.
Solid.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments, rather, on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. Of the leadership, right? Of the officials of note at the four corner programs, Colorado, Arizona, ASU, and Utah, who would you say have been, throughout this process, the most supportive of the Pac-12? Who have we heard from the most that have been the most supportive
of the four corners?
Of the Pac-12?
Oh, of the
well,
Pac-12.
Well, no, of the four corners, of those leadership officials.
I mean, Arizona State's been pretty dang vocal.
I'm thinking specifically of Ray Anderson.
Oh.
The AD at Arizona State. Right?
Really?
He's been among the most.
He was the early. I feel like you and I talked a lot about him this time last year.
Well, and heck, even in like February and March and April. Mm-hmm. In February, he said, we certainly believe in the value of this market and certainly the value ASU as an institution brings to the Pac-12. He has, for example, certainly we're all anxious to have something resolved here in the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks, so we can take the next steps and get some of the speculation out of the air in regard to what our other conferences might be thinking in terms of trying to pick off Pac-10 teams, if you will, and what we may do in terms of adding institutions. Getting a media rights deal will clear the air for figuring out some of that other stuff. We have confidence our commissioners and our presidents and chancellors are going to get to a place where a media rights deal and a grant of rights is done. It may not be the projections originally contemplated, but it will be enough of a solid foundation to keep this conference together, and then we will really work hard to move forward positively.
And that was a quote from today?
From February.
Oh, okay.
From February. From 6 months ago. Here's a quote from today.
When you were reading it, I was going, man, he did not say that today. That sounds like something he would have said this spring.
This is what he said today. Because timing, I mean, the Arizona State football stadium, there was an announcement today in a press conference about a naming rights deal. Mm-hmm. And now it's, I don't know. I don't even care. Who cares? It went from something to something else. And they held a press conference. Today of all days. And Ray Anderson was there, and he spoke with the media. Quote, I remain extremely hopeful and understand personally, no matter how it ends up, Arizona State will be in a good spot.
A little less sunny about the Pac-12. A
little bit.
You know, I would have told you that in the wake of Edwards firing and that mess, that I probably wouldn't have given Anderson a long tenure out and behind that. I would have thought his days are numbered. Not just because of that, but just they had some notable misfires. There must be some
NCAA scandal,
right? On top of chunking the baseball coach, chunking the football coach. I mean, like, what if you're really I mean, they've had a little bit of basketball success under Bobby Hurley, but what's been riding high for them lately? What stands out? I can't tell you. Now, I may be missing a really good golf team or something. No offense, but you get what I'm saying. And you know, that one's always felt like, because I remember playing baseball against them out there 35 years ago, and they were riding high at that point. But it was also prior to them getting to the Phoenix metropolitan area, getting a bunch of professional teams. At that point, I think all they had was the Phoenix Suns. You know, it just feels different around there. It feels like a major market, more of a much. I wouldn't say it's more of a pro market than a Sun Devil market, but there's at least competition for the attention. I mean, think about what happens there. They host Super Bowls now, not at that stadium, right. Not at the Sun Devil Stadium, but that's how big it's got. That's how important Phoenix is now, where back in the day they had the Sun Devils, a relatively new NBA team, and they hosted a little bowl back then called the Fiesta Bowl before it became big. It did elevate quickly in the 80s because they were there were some independents that were doing good things. Like when Penn State would be good, they could create in the Fiesta Bowl. They went from just being a decent bowl to one of the really prominent bowls because they could sometimes match up one versus two when it involved independents, which independents at that time involved Penn State, Florida State, mm-hmm. Notre Dame, of course. So,
and the weather was nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And now it just feels a lot different around it. And, you know, and again, it's rich for me to say this, but just from way off watching them, they feel like they underachieved to me because it feels like, man, who wouldn't want to go play there?
They're the sleeping giant that's still sleeping.
Yeah?
I hadn't even thought about this until you brought this up, some of the things that they went through change over the past couple of years. We were a couple of years out from missing on Herm Edwards' conference realignment thoughts, which would have just been beautiful.
Right.
And probably very outspoken.
Yeah, I back to Ray Anderson, he apparently has a great relationship with the president there. I think the president, I think it's Michael Crow, is not at all interested in athletics. I think he's far more concerned with research and academics and boring crap like that. And so I think that he gives Anderson kind of a free hand, and Anderson's a moron. He's a terrible AD.
Former agent.
Mm-hmm. Robert says, this AD and Gus, I want Utah in the conference so we can kick their ass. Derek says, I'm betting that the Mountain West is a reverse merger with the Pack and assumes the name. I think you're right on the money there, Gus, because, you know, you do that. And how do you feel about that if you're San Diego State? Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, you move and the neighborhood moves with you.
Yeah.
They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They have 11 institutions right now that play football. They would go up to 13 if they absorb Oregon State and Wazoo as part of the Pack. Maybe they add and get to 14. I don't know, but either way, I think you're right on, Derek, because that way you would eliminate the grant of rights, exit fee situation, because everyone would just kind of leave all at once. It would be a group decision. No one would be left out. By absorbing the Pac-12, you get their NCAA tournament shares, you get the Autonomy 5 status, you get all the accoutrements that came with it, even though all of the occupants basically have left. You get the playoff money at least for a couple more years. That's the smart play. Now, I mean, surely Kliavkoff is not the commissioner of that. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know if Gloria Nevarez takes over or what, but she's the commissioner of the Mountain West.
If they downsize that TV network and downsize that office in downtown San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a lot of overhead.
I mean, the Mountain West headquarters are in Colorado Springs. you know?
Yeah, and I was referencing, of course, the Pac-12, yes.
Right, sorry. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Probably just keep that.
Yeah.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. Would love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, Double T 97.3.com. We get this in the chat line. How does Notre Dame fit in this mess?
Well, they really don't. I don't think from a conference standpoint. Didn't you say that by rule, if they were going to join a league, it would have to be the ACC?
Contractually, yeah. If they were to join a conference for football between now and 2036, it would have to be the ACC. Now, maybe they could fight it. Florida State seems, you know, raring for a scrap. Maybe they can, you know, join in. I don't know. But that's the way that it's written. Yes.
And I think, every overture that Notre Dame has made has been to assure media rights. They've even talked about apparel because
they just signed. We haven't talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they were at the table when the college football playoff was moved to or expanded to 12 teams. And so, I mean, their pathway to being in that playoff and being one of those 12 teams, I'm not saying it's easier than everyone else, but they don't have to go win a conference championship.
It's easier.
Yeah. They've been pretty good throughout their history about challenging themselves with good schedules. I'm not saying every year, but we can think back to the series that they had with Miami back when that, you know, the Catholics versus Convicts, which is a really interesting 30 for 30, by the way. They've done home and homes with Alabama throughout their history. They haven't backed away from a whole lot over the years. And so my assumption is I don't know if they could just play all the service academies in a couple games against San Jose and say, hey, we're San Jose State, and say, hey, we're 11-1, put us in the playoff. They haven't done that in their past, but they do have a relatively easier path to get there without having to go butt heads with another really good teams for a conference championship.
Yeah, because, I mean, they have, because of their affiliation with the ACC, they play a certain number of games every year against ACC teams. I think it might be 6, something like that. And so that will always kind of be the backbone of their schedule. Recall in 2020, because of COVID, they were part of the ACC, right? They played in that conference.
And, of course, they're non-football all participate also, in right. the ACC. Yeah.
So I think that their status remains the same unless two things happen. One, unless for some reason NBC just says, no, we don't want to broadcast your games. Like they have no offers, no interest for their content. I can't imagine that would ever happen. Like that seems virtually impossible to me, even in today's climate. I think that people are lining up to pay Notre Dame. Look at Under Armour. They just signed Notre Dame to the richest apparel deal in history, $10 million a year. And then the only other circumstance where I think that their hand might get forced is if the other conferences say, hey, you know, when the new playoff comes around, hey, if you want to be a part of this, you need to be in a conference, period.
Right.
And I don't know how likely that is.
Man, I don't either. Because I think if the college football powers that be were really motivated to do that, then they're probably not getting one of the they're probably not part of that conversation. They're probably not like, hey, we need to make sure Notre Dame has someone on this committee that helps decide what this 12-team playoff is going to look like. I mean, right?
Right.
If you're not willing to include them in this conversation, then why would you say, sure, come on in. You need a seat on this board.
Somebody has this. I heard someone from Utah on a podcast talking about how they're a prime target for the Big Ten, and they said it with a straight face. Shrug emoji. Yeah, I mean, that's... I don't pretend to think that that's like the unanimous view of every Utah fan, right? But there's certainly no shortage of Utah fans or even like associated media that have a very inflated view of what the University of Utah is worth in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, and one thing they're probably embracing in that conversation, because they are this, is, well, we're an AAU school, you know, so it really fits the Big Ten narrative. Sorry, Nebraska. But it really fits their narrative. Sorry, Iowa, isn't that the other one? Isn't it now Nebraska and Iowa? Iowa State dropped out. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But... Yeah, and so, you know, when you start to fire, we've won all these championships, and we've done this. Oh, and we're AAU, so we're of that academic ilk.
I mean, they've had a really good 20-year run in football.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens when Kyle Whittingham retires.
Because Whittingham's been the long, he's been right. The long-tenured guy. It was Urban Meyer. I don't know if he was it immediately from Urban Meyer to Whittingham. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay. And we know what Urban Meyer ended up. I mean, it really was Urban Meyer's, not his first big job, but maybe first Power 5 job, right?
Well, I mean, Utah wasn't Power 5 at the time. He went from Bowling Green to Utah and then to Florida.
And his quarterback was?
Alex Smith.
Oh, I always want to put Trent Green in the Alex Smith spots. Mm. I don't know why my...
It's the Chiefs. You're mixing them all.
Well, you're probably right, Clint. There probably is some truth to that.
I mean, they are the definition of new money, and not just in terms of recent success over the last 20 years. Because Urban Meyer got there, his first year was 2003. They went 10-2, but they've been in a power conference for all of what, 13 years. They joined the Pac-12 in 2011. Before then, they were in the WAC. I'm sorry, the Mountain West, and then the WAC. And before that, they were in the Skyline Conference. So this is their new money. They've had some success. Good for them. They've won a lot of big games in the PAC. You know, I think that probably it deserves respect and all that crap, but yeah.
And forgive me if you just said this because I was daydreaming. Were they added to pair with Colorado when
yes.
Colorado moved? Okay, mm-hmm. That makes sense. That's exactly right. Urban Meyer was gone by then.
And that was kind of the...
We set the stage, I guess.
That was their contingency, because originally the plan was 6 from the Big 12 going to the Pac-10, right? And then Colorado jumped early because they didn't want to lose their seat to Baylor, understandably. And then when the other 5, when it flamed out, they needed a partner. They needed a 12th team, and so they went to Utah. This in the chat line. Realignment killed college football regionalism. Are we sure? TCU, Houston rejoin rivals Baylor, Texas Tech. UT rejoins rivals A&M and Arkansas. Colorado rejoins rivals Kansas, K-State, Oklahoma State. Utah and BYU reunited. Arizona and Arizona State rejoined Border Conference for Texas Tech. And Wazoo and Oregon State joined Pierce, Boise State, and Fresno. Some hard-to-swallow pills right there. More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can access that at DoubleT973.com or through the DoubleT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. We will have coverage of the Texas Rangers coming up tonight at 6:30 as they continue a series with the Chicago White Sox. When they begin that game tonight at 7:05 p.m. Central Time, they will do so tied in the AL West division standings with the defending world champion Houston Astros, who beat the Guardians earlier today 3-2.
Yeah, Parker Mashinsky with a scoreless inning in that ball game in relief. 7 pitches, 3 quick outs. Good work by him. The Astros with one more win and one more loss and a virtual tie, as you said. And the Rangers get final say in that as they play tonight. But Astros hit it off on a 4-game series in the Bronx. And what we're starting to see here with them and the Rangers is some of the new acquisitions taking the mound. Montgomery will be going for the Rangers here in the next couple days. Scherzer tomorrow. Yeah, Scherzer will be going. Scherzer will be going tomorrow afternoon in his Rangers debut. So some of these things are shaking out. We haven't yet gotten the start date for Verlander. It doesn't appear to be anything before this weekend. Couple of Rangers tidbits. Jonah Heim, you know, there was some fear that his injury might be season ending. They have every motivation to try to give him every shot to get back this year because he's been that good. He's been the American League starter behind the plate and had an outstanding year. But they do feel like there is a glimmer of hope for his return this year, that it's not a season ender. And then Corey Seager should be back here within the next few days. So And your guy, Big Yordan, back in the flow for the Rangers. Doesn't appear to have really heated up yet. I mean, for the Astros, excuse me.
How dare you?
I know. That was a slip.
Whoa!
I've asked for a couple things here. Didn't get it last year, but getting it this year, some butting of heads and a race. I mean, the fact that we're now down to these two teams being, whatever happens tonight, they'll be separated by a half game. That's great stuff for Raymar Broadcasting. It's great stuff for our product over the next 2 months. And both of these teams making the deals that they've made at the trade deadline, they're both pushing chips to the center of the table. It's as compelling as it gets. And we really do have some just my Astros friends and my Rangers friends. There's plenty of suck it Steve going on right now. So
suck it, Steve. Your team's poor.
There it is. Perfect.
Love to get your thoughts and comments today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. Rangers, again, will have coverage of them coming up at 6:30 here on DoubleT973. Their game tonight against the White Sox will begin at 7:05 p.m. Central Time in Arlington. Rangers 61-46, winners yesterday over the White Sox 2-0. Astros 62-47, they're riding a 3-game winning streak, and Seattle and the Angels are both 6 games back in the AL West. Angels had kind of been on a little bit of a hot streak there for a while. Once they had kind of made it known, hey, we're keeping Ohtani, we're moving, we're going for it, et cetera, they've lost 2 in a row.
Yeah, and that was, I don't know, it may have been prior to last night's game, but they had the best record in all of Major League Baseball since the All-Star game. Hanging on to a guy like Ohtani and then acquiring, a couple of the pitchers that they got, some prominent arms. I mean, that has to send a little bit of a bump of energy through the locker room, through the clubhouse, to say, hey, we're all right, fellas, we're hanging on to that guy, and we just added this guy. That's and they're certainly trying to make their case for a lot of things, but they've been the punchline, I guess, over the last decade, in that you've had, Trout has been as good a player as there is, and now you put Ohtani next to him. And, you know, this is, they're finally in a position to go for it, and they're doing it and not selling.
Do you think it's hard to kind of put a number next to this or compare, but like from purely an MLB perspective, being an Angels fan over the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years has to be the most miserable experience relative to any other fan base, right? Because the Marlins have won World Series, right? The Mets, up until recently, you know, ownership sucked. They weren't putting a lot of money into it. The A's haven't tried for years, right? I mean, maybe just losing your team is miserable enough, and kind of you win that conversation. But, like, the Angels have tried. They've signed the big-time free agents multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you have to show for it? Squat.
Yeah.
I mean, you have one of the most transcendent once in a generation, if not multiple generation players on your roster right now to go along with another all-time great in Mike Trout. And, I mean, you're six games behind first place. You're six games behind the Astros and the Rangers.
Yeah, that's and just what you're saying, the tease that comes with having developed Trout, they drafted him and developed him or produced him through their system and hung on to him. And then, now, they went out and ridiculously overspent on Pujols, who was still plenty good, but was in his 30s.
Right. Hamilton.
And C.J. Wilson was in that group. Now, it wasn't as prolonged as Hamilton, but, like, and depending on how that goes, but ownership stepped in and said, yeah, we want that guy. Where GM might have been going, and then those assets underperformed and have ultimately faded away, certainly in the case of Hamilton and Wilson. And just you're still teased by that guy in center field that's when things come up, conversations come up, it's like, this hasn't been the best, you know, first 5-year war since Mickey Mantle, you know. And now we're getting that with Ohtani as well, in terms of him surpassing some of the things that Babe Ruth ever did. Not a career thing, but Babe Ruth pitched and hit, but didn't do it at the same time like this guy. And yet they're still not to the point. I mean, if ever there was a year, of course, my team's the last place, so I'm the ultimate free agent fan, but if there was ever a year to just root for something compelling, like, hey, Angels, nudge your way into this postseason thing just so we can see those two guys. And how interesting would that be in the wake of the World Baseball thing, the way it ended with Ohtani versus Trout, Japan versus USA, like two of the best in the business, full count, two outs. I mean, how great that all ended, that if they could get into this conversation and be relevant. And, they'll certainly need to pick it up over the last 2 months, but they did acquire and hang on to some assets.
And across town, the Dodgers have just been cruising.
Yep.
Right? Just that World Series championship back in 2002 is a long time ago, if you're an Angels fan.
Yeah, no doubt.
A long time ago. We'll have Astros coverage for you tomorrow on 100.7 The Score as they begin their 4-game series against the New York Yankees in New York City. First pitch on Thursday around, I don't know, 6:15 or so, and our coverage will start for you at 5:45 on 100.7 The Score. Hall of Fame game tomorrow. NFL preseason underway already.
Football.
Here. I know, yeah. Jets and the Browns. We'll have that game for you on Thursday tomorrow. That coverage starts at 6:30.
Put your arms down, Clint. Jets and Browns,
it's,
and you're in
still
there waving
football.
Your hands
It's live
around.
Snap. Yeah, that last, I don't care if it's that last Zach Wilson versus whoever
series.
The Browns exactly. second string quarterback
is. Exactly.
I will tune in for the first 5 minutes and then be thoroughly underwhelmed.
Yeah. It's like, oh, thank God, football's back. Football's back.
Okay.
Oh, man, this is so great. And then, yeah, two series later, oh, I realized why I never watched this.
And Zach Wilson overthrows by 10 yards as receiver.
Hey, tell me to watch my 600 pound life or, you know, some crap like that.
Hey, is that
you don't know what it's like to be my size, Amy.
The next commercial. Hey, is that the Friends episode where she gets married? Hey.
We were on a break. This is Tech Talk on Double T97.3.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.